Good morning. I'm so happy we can be in worship together. I'm so happy that we can be in the Word together, that we can be strengthened together in Him. Actually, over the last couple of weeks, I have been praying for our church and for our community during this time, and this Word keeps coming back to me. And I strongly believe that this is the Word that God wants to share with us today, and it's about godly strength, strength, strength. And I was relieved, honestly, to hear this Word in my own spirit because this is what I need. So do I have any takers today for some more godly strength? I believe that God wants to infuse us today with His godly strength, to empower us, to encourage us, to relieve our weariness with His godly strength, and to not just encourage us, but to compel us with this godly strength. I know some of us are weary. I know some of us are worried. Some of us are very stretched. In our situation now, we're very stretched. Some of us are maybe even defeated. Godly strength is coming today. Some of us maybe feel okay. We feel strong. We feel pretty content. Godly strength is coming today because God wants to bring you and I to a new level of spiritual capacity that we could function at our highest spiritual potential in Him through His godly strength. Come with me to Psalm chapter 18. In verse 1, it says, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock. He's my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, the shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. You give me your shield of victory and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. These words were written by a man who didn't just read about God, who didn't just know about God, but who was living a story of godly strength. He was living it. We're going to come back to him in a few minutes. We know often that verse, Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. It sounds good. We know God is strong. But how do we live, receive, and be filled with godly strength? That's what we're going to talk about today. Let's start with the very beginning. With number one is build our lives on the rock. Something we've heard often. We know that story in Luke 6, the two builders. One builder's not building a foundation at all and just building his house on whatever. Another builder's digging deep, building a foundation on something strong. And Jesus says, you know, the storm comes against both houses. One crashes. The one with the foundation stands strong. And that one with the foundation is that one that hears my words and puts them into practice. Every decision that we make about our life priorities, about our time, about our relationships, about our career, about our future, about our family is like a brick. And we're all putting our bricks somewhere. Everybody in this world is building their lives, and they're building their lives on something. But it's so good, even as believers who have already experienced a relationship with God and they've already begun and said, yeah, I want a life with Christ, and that's where it begins, but to ask ourselves, okay, is this decision I'm making, is this putting a brick on the rock of Jesus Christ? Is this putting my bricks on the strong rock of Christ in His way, in His will? Is this doing that? Because it's easy to begin, and we've started a relationship with Jesus. Of course, that's where it all begins, and that's God's plan for all of us. God has made a way. God gave everything and sacrificed everything to make a way through His Son Jesus that we could come to Him, not just know about Him, not just practice a religion, but have a relationship with Him. So many of us listening today, we've already made that choice. We already enjoy that relationship, but maybe there's someone listening that says, relationship, personal relationship with God, I don't know. I don't know what that is. I don't have it. I just want to tell you today, I just want to stop everything and invite you. Actually, God is inviting you to Himself, to know Him in relationship, hear from Him regularly, interact with Him, be led by Him, be strengthened by Him, be close to Him, starting now, not just in heaven someday, but starting right now. And I'll come back to that at the end, but be thinking about that. God is inviting you. So we've started there. We've said, yes, we've said, yeah, I want on the rock. I know that's the secure, strong place. And we've started to build there, but then it's so easy to make other decisions, which is like throwing a brick over there and throwing a brick over here and throwing a brick over there. And then we find ourselves lacking strength and we wonder why. So just a reminder about foundation, just a reminder about every brick. I'm thinking of a young man I was out with the sheep. He's the youngest of 8 boys. Spent quite a lot of time alone because he was a shepherd, and he chose to spend that time thinking about God, thinking about his word, reading it, meditating on it, worshiping God in his presence, worshiping God in his word. And he began to build his life experiencing God and experiencing his word. And those decisions in his youth were to affect him the rest of his life. Some of us, we've believed, we've obeyed, we've prayed, we've done what we know to do to build on the rock, but we still find ourselves at certain times crumbling in the face of opposition, or crumbling when a trial comes, or maybe deeply hurt and offended and carrying around these offenses because of what others say to us. Some of us feel so powerless and maybe even depressed because of the choices of others that are happening that are beyond our control. Or we're wrestling with the discouragement of our own failings and we can't get past it and it seems to debilitate us. Or we're fighting our own anger against others or against God. We're struggling somewhere between being strong and fighting through and being strong in the Lord. And those two things are not the same. Some of us have a foundation upon Christ, but we suffer from serious cracks in the foundation. And in these cracks is where the enemy wants to gain a foothold in order to build a stronghold. A personal spiritual stronghold is that place in which the enemy is holding strongly to an area of my life, fueled by the power of my sin. For in the place of obedience to God, the enemy is powerless. Let me say that again. In the place of obedience to God, in one act, in one choice of obedience to God, I render the enemy powerless in that place. But behind a stronghold is usually an idol. Of course, an idol is anything exalted above God and his truth in my life. No Christian plans to worship an idol. No Christian wants to give the enemy power in their lives. But usually behind an idol is a fear. And behind a fear is a lie. Now, if we look at our lives, we think, well, I don't think I'm believing any lies. Of course we don't think we're believing lies. If we knew there were lies, we wouldn't believe them. That's the power of deception. But sometimes, because of a lie we're believing, it grows into a fear that maybe we don't even realize we have. And that fear then causes us to bring an idol into our lives that maybe we don't even realize we're honoring. But we struggle with the effects of the stronghold that the enemy is gaining in our lives, and we keep trying to put band-aids on those difficulties, on those struggles that we have, like I was talking earlier about the crumbling, about the deep hurt, and the being so moved and so shaken by the choices of someone else, by the challenge that we're facing. And if I'm so moved and so shaken, it shows that there's a crack somewhere. That there's a crack somewhere in my foundation if I'm so moved. Let me give you an example. I'll give you an example of a lie that I battled for years that I think many people believe. The lie is, I'm not good enough. That kind of a lie grows into the fear. I cannot make mistakes. I can't fail. It's the fear of failure. It's the fear of man. Not fearing people, but valuing and being so scared of their opinions of me and what they say about me and what they do about me, and it's a fear. It develops into a fear of man. This fear develops the idol of perfectionism, striving to prove I'm good enough, striving for the praise of man. That develops into a stronghold. Instead of living in the freedom that comes from God's love, I'm caught up in bondage to perfect performance and the praise of man. If I don't receive them, I crumble. I can't handle criticism. Nothing I do is ever good enough. I doubt myself, and when others doubt me, I'm crushed. I live in a world of comparison and competition. I'm always striving but never measuring up. I am not strong. Another example, totally different kind of lie. I'm the expert. I can control the outcome. Of course, none of us walk around speaking out these lies. I believe I'm the expert. None of us say that, but these are things deep in our hearts sometimes that grow, as I explained, into these cracks. The fear that results from such a lie is, I must be in control. I have a fear of losing control. The idol that results is, I'm trying to control all the aspects of my life and the people around me. The stronghold that results is, instead of surrendering control to God and allowing him to be at the center of my life and allowing other voices in my life, other authority in my life to guide me, to show me, to direct me, to even speak into my life, I resist them because I think I know best. I'm bound to self-dependency, self-focus, though I probably won't admit it. Being in control makes me feel strong, but I'm not. One more example. Another kind of lie. I need to earn God's love. The fear that results is, I'll never be truly loved or measure up to God's standard. The idol that results, I strive to prove my works before God, and I find satisfaction only in my checklist Christianity that I keep mentally or in my heart. If I've done this, if I've done this and this, I feel okay and God's okay with me. If I haven't, God's not okay with me and I'm not okay. What's the stronghold that results? Instead of freely receiving the gift of God's love, I always feel there's something more I have to do. That he's never truly pleased with me. I'm bound to legalism, fear, and judgment. Though mentally I confess God loves me and legalism is wrong, I'm continually critical of myself and others. I'm constantly measuring. I'm measuring my works. I'm measuring the works of others. I feel strong when I've done something good, but I am not strong. Do you see how the enemy uses lies to discourage, to debilitate, to separate you and I from the truth that makes us free? And from the true source of our strength. Because there is no band-aid to cover and repair those cracks, except for the truth that is found in God's word. It's only the truth of God's word that repairs them. Let's see how it works. Okay, just stay with me and let's see how this works. Let's apply it. Let's take the truth and tear open the lies. Are you ready? Lie number one, I'm not good enough. Psalm 139, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderful. All your works are marvelous. I know it. You watched me as I was being formed. You saw me before I was born. How precious are your thoughts about me, God. They cannot even be numbered. Am I good enough? No, I'm not. I will never be. Only Christ is good enough, and he has given us a new identity in him by grace. He calls us a saint. He calls us loved. He calls us forgiven. He called us accepted. He calls us wonderful, and he fills us with his goodness. He sees every fault of ours, and he covers us with his perfect love. He compares us to no one, and he doesn't want our perfection. He wants our heart. Line number two, I'm the expert. I can control the outcome. Isaiah 40, who taught God the path of understanding and knowledge? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth. Its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. To whom then will you compare me that I would be his equal, says the Holy One? The everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become tired or grow weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Only God is the true expert, and all of our best efforts to do the things right, to control and win, will never compare. His ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. His thoughts and ways are eternal. They are best. They are proven, and they are perfect. Everything outside of full surrender to his will is a waste of time. Last lie, I need to earn God's love. Ephesians 2. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for it. It's a gift of God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things you've done, so no one can boast. For we are God's masterpiece. Romans 5. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So God demonstrated his love before we could earn or prove anything good about ourselves. If we have to earn God's love, Jesus didn't need to die. Nothing we could ever do could make God love us more or less. We are loved. Do you see how the truth exposes and destroys the lie? And see, when the lie is replaced by the truth, fear disappears. The idol is no longer desirable. and the stronghold is destroyed. The crack in the foundation is filled, and you and I are strengthened from the inside out. And when the old triggers come, because they will, count on it, criticism, offensive words of others, failures, your own failures, a situation beyond your control, they no longer move you like they did. They no longer cause you to crumble like they used to. They do not have the power to crush you and rob you of your peace because your strong foundation cannot be shaken. You, through Christ, have robbed them of their power. See, when something moves me so strongly, when something shakes me so strongly, and after it, I feel this big, I feel down on the ground, I feel like I can't even do, I feel so affected. It shows something has too much power over me because I'm giving it power. But through Christ, when I take the truth and I apply it and speak it and believe it, I rob those things of their power over me because what I believe about God and myself is secure. So where are your cracks? Where are the weak points in your foundation? God's not pointing his finger at your cracks and saying, look at your cracks, I'm just so disappointed. He's reaching out his hand towards you, full of truth, like this. He's reaching out his hand, full of truth, towards you, and saying, are you going to take it? Will you take it? Because this is what fills the crack. This is what strengthens you from the inside out. Paul prayed over the Ephesians in chapter 3, verse 16. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, you would be strengthened by his spirit in your inner being. God goes right to the core with the power of his truth and gives you strength. It's not a one-time change. It's not a one-time application. One time I was struggling again with this lie that I didn't realize I was believing for years, and I was struggling with insecurity, and I had made some mistakes, and I just couldn't get over my failings, and I was feeling this big, and I was talking to my sister. I said, why am I in this again? I'm frustrated that, not that even that I so much made a mistake, but that it affects me so much and that I can't get past it. And then I think it's so low of myself, like, why am I here again? Have I not learned anything? Am I back at zero? Like, why am I in this? I know the truth. I've been here before. I can't. And she said, Rochelle, an athlete doesn't go to the gym and work out for 6 months every day and then say, okay, done. Next 2 years, I don't need to go to the gym because I'm strong now. The athlete stays in the gym and continues to work and train. And you are in a process of the renewing of your mind. You are believing lies. Now you need to renew your mind. It doesn't mean we haven't grown. It doesn't mean you haven't taken steps forward. Because see, the more that you apply the truth, and the more you apply the truth, the more that you take that tool of the truth and you apply it to your life situation, those lies, the quicker you begin to recognize it, the quicker you start using those tools, then the thought comes and you go, whoa, not going down that path. I'm not going to dwell in that thought. I'm not going there anymore. I'm not going to give it power anymore over me. I'm not going there. You start to recognize it quicker and you know the truths that you need and you apply them. It's this ongoing process. We talked about this young man with the sheep, youngest of 8 brothers, spending time with God and choosing God's way. That same man wrote the words that I read in the beginning in Psalm chapter 18, but those words in Psalm chapter 18 are also found in 2 Samuel 22, and they're the words that David said at the end of his life after he had lived a whole life of experiencing God's strength through him. He knew what he was talking about. But I want to talk about a moment in his life. There was a story of unexpected strength in 1 Samuel 17. Israel's camped, the soldiers of Israel with King Saul are camped in the Valley of Elam. Interesting, because the exact place where they're camped, Elam, means strong oak. So the place where they were camped was actually named after strength. Except with the Philistines, their enemies, camped on the hill opposite them, and Goliath, their champion, a giant, standing in the middle of the troops and screaming daily threats, God's people are trembling in fear. King Saul is offering everything to the man who will step out and fight this giant, but no one moves. Though the Lord God Almighty is her defender, strength cannot be found in Israel. I want to stop and just say for a moment, God wants to make your story and mine a story of unexpected strength. Some of us have giants that are staring us down right now in the form of financial challenge, in the form of physical illness, even in our church, in the form of personal fear. We feel blocked, stuck, or limited. Some of us recognize giants of evil that are just at work in the world around us, and we wonder if we can even say a prayer big enough to touch them. God wants to make your story a story of personal, unexpected strength. Unexpected strength.
So little David arrives, not because he's a soldier, he's too young, he has no experience, and he's not part of a team. Yeah, but he arrives with some food for his brothers, and he hears the threats, and he hears from the soldiers the story and what's going on. And in contrast to all that fear and to all of that scene that he steps into, this is how he responds in 1 Samuel 17:26. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Those words of faith, in such contrast to everything else being spoken, reach the ears of the king. And he calls him in so he can hear for himself. And David speaks to King Saul and he says, "Let no one lose heart, O king, on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." How can he stand as one who wasn't even part of the team at that point and speak in such faith? Godly strength. Before we go further in this story, I want to say number three. We talked about build on the rock. We talked about fortifying our foundation. Number three is access heaven's resource. We know that heaven, that God himself, he is the Almighty and he is strength. How do we access it? How do we access it? Isaiah 40, it says, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. This word wait, it speaks of hope, hoping, waiting, expecting, and depending on the Lord will renew their strength. Psalm 125 talks about those who trust in the Lord will be like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, like a strong mountain. So trusting in him. And lastly, feeding on his word. I feel like repeating it 20 times over. Let us get it in our spirit. I've got to feed on the word. I've got to be in the word with my mind, with my thoughts, studying it, reading it, praying it, meditating on it. Sometimes that means I got to set other things aside. Actually, every time it means I got to set other things aside. But sometimes maybe setting extra things aside. There's a man in our church that said, you know what? I decided that for a week I was going to stop looking at the coronavirus stats. I was going to stop looking at Facebook and I was going to spend more time in God's word. And it was totally a relief. Do we need Facebook for connections? Should we see the coronavirus stats? Yeah. But he decided, you know what, I'm going to put that on pause for a time, and I'm going to seek God in his word and fill my mind. Because if I'm so full and I'm so consumed with what everyone else is saying and doing and what's working and everything that's going on, how can I be fully consumed with God's word? And when I feed on God's word, I am positioning myself to hear from God. Who wants a word from God? Who wants to receive revelation from God? David said, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your word. That's my prayer. Who needs that? We all want that. We all need that. Hear from God personally. That's freeing. That's healing. That's encouraging. That's directing my life, showing me what to do, how to make decisions. So when I'm in the word, I'm positioning myself to receive it. And the more that I know him in his word, the more I will trust him. And the more I'm ingesting his word, the more faith is growing in me, because that's how it works. And what's the result of being strong in the Lord? Listen to this promise. Result of being strong in the Lord. Psalm 84. Blessed and greatly favored is the man whose strength is in you. Passing through the valley of weeping called Baca, they make it a place of springs. They go from strength to strength, increasing in victorious power. Baca was a real place, a valley on the way to Jerusalem that many Jews traveled through. It was uncomfortable. It was inconvenient. It was dry and it was barren. You tell me what grows in barrenness. What can grow in barrenness? But those who are strong in the Lord,
Make such a place, such a situation, a relationship, a family situation, a work situation that seems dry and barren and unfruitful. They make it a place of springs. Now you tell me what grows in the place of springs. So what implication does that have, not just for my situation, but for those around me, for those who come after me, if I'm making those situations like springs of life? It's always about more than just us. When David starts to hear from the guys what's going on, from the soldiers on the lines, the battle lines, what's going on, he starts to hear the story and speak out his words of faith. His oldest brother, Eliab, overhears him and judges him sharply. He says, I know your wicked heart. I know why you're here. You're just here to watch the battle. Then David goes before Saul, speaks out words of faith, and Saul takes one look at him and says, you can't go fight him. You're too small. You're too young. You have no experience. He turns from Saul, still in faith, and goes and walks out onto the battlefield. It's one thing to speak words of faith. It's another thing to turn around and walk on to the battlefield. He walks onto the battlefield, and his enemy stares him down and says, what am I, a dog, that you come at me with sticks? I'm going to feed you to the birds of the air today. Is tough. How? After his brother, after his leader, after his enemy, criticize, judge, and despise him. How does he not crumble? How does he not throw his cheeses that he brought into the garbage and stomp home? I mean, how does he not crumble in that situation? David also didn't say, yeah, you think I can't do it? You watch me. You watch me. I can take my stones. I'm going to go fight the giant. This was nothing about David proving himself. I think David took a look at the battlefield and he said, giant? What giant? The only giant I see here is God. See, Israel believed a lie. The enemy is stronger than us. That developed a fear, and they were running from the battle they could have been winning and from the enemy they had the power to overcome, because they were each also destined for victory. They were each also resourced by heaven, but they were forfeiting victory because they were not strong in the Lord. David advanced without armor, without the support of his team, of his family, or of his leader, saying, Goliath, you come against me with a sword, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, and he will deliver you into my hand today. And he took down Goliath with a stone. When one man chose to believe, when one man accessed heaven's resource and stepped forward in faith in God's strength, he enabled victory for all the scared men. Do you see that? When Goliath came down, all the men of Israel rose up and pursued the Philistines and overcame them. It gave them courage. When you and I choose to be strong in him, when you and I choose to live his way and to build our lives upon his rock, we will enable victory for someone else, not just for us. And that will be extremely important to us. Because see, the more that we build our lives upon his rock and the more we build our lives on his way, the more we care about the people around us. The more we want victory, not just for ourselves, but for many. And our courage in Christ will give courage to somebody else. Fearful believers crumble in the sight of opposition. Or they crumble when someone doubts their ability to face it. Prideful believers crumble when they can't control the opposition, when they're not appreciated for their effort against the opposition, or they can't be in the middle of the solution. Both lose. But the ones who find their strength in Christ, they rise to slay giants and they give God the praise. Your place of strength is not just to be a refuge, a fortress for you and your family. Not just for you to be strengthened today from your weariness, though God wants to do that. That's where he begins. He says, come to me, those who you are burdened, and I'll give you rest. That's where he begins. But the fortress and the refuge that God is for you is not just to be your place of rest, but it's also to be your fortitude to stand against your spiritual opposition and to fight in faith against it and see it defeated from your place of dependency upon him. So I want to encourage you today to slay the giants in your family, to slay the giants in your church, to slay the giants in our city by your faith in God's power over them. by your prayer and declaration of God's victory over them and upon your strong stand on the strong rock. Let me give you an example. My mom is the oldest of seven children. They grew up often without the things that they needed, without some of the clothes or the food or the other things that they needed. But they saw God move in their family. They saw God provide food, God provide clothes. They saw God provide for the ministry that they were doing, the way they were serving him. They saw God heal them from yellow fever, the whooping cough, skin problems, intestinal problems. They saw God as they depended on him. They saw God work and provide. God put a vision in their hearts. My mother's from Holland. God put a vision on their hearts to plant churches all across Holland. They didn't have money enough for their family, much less to buy some building to start some church. Sometimes my grandfather went out negotiating for a building and he didn't even have two guilders in his pocket. Like, it was way beyond him. But his faith was in God to do it. And you know, someone walked in his office the next day and put an envelope on his desk with the money they needed for the down payment. They just saw God do this time after time, and they understood what it was to live in godly strength. My mom's younger sister grew up and moved to California, started her family there, raised her family in the same way. But as her daughter grew up and came into her teen years, she chose a different path. She got into a relationship with a guy who was involved in gang activity and drug addiction, and he was extremely possessive over her. It's like he sucked her into that world, and she continued to choose that path. And as soon as my aunt started to see those things develop, she would talk to her. She would say, "Melanie, I see it happening. You got to be careful, Mel. I don't think this guy is right," and have those tough conversations. And of course, she began to pray. The more that, and she asked my mom and her other sisters and her mom to pray, the more that we prayed and things developed, like, the worse it got. Melanie continued to pursue this path of destruction, really. Melanie got involved in the gang activity and the drug activity herself. And she seemed like deeper and deeper and deeper she was falling into it, until she would disappear for days at a time, and my aunt was desperate. There were moments when she couldn't even pray about it, and she would call my mom, and my mom would say, "You know what, today I'm going to fight in prayer for you. I'm going to throw those stones. You know, you don't have the power to throw those stones today. I'm going to throw them at these giants. And these giants that are standing in Melanie's path, and we're going to believe God." And they believed God together, and they spoke God's truth, and they spoke God's will over Melanie's life, and they continued to stand in that place of faith when they did not see any evidence of change or evidence of God's strength coming into that situation or changing it. Continued to believe, and there were moments that were extremely dark for the family, and we didn't know if Melanie sometimes was dead or alive. But one day, Melanie came home, and she said, "I can't do this anymore, and I don't want this life anymore." And she wanted to surrender everything to God. She was extremely broken. But it was this breakthrough moment, you know, when you feel like that giant has fallen. And this breakthrough moment when Melanie just threw everything down before God and said, "I give you my life." Those seeds that have been deeply planted in her were still there. And you know, it was a process for Melanie. Of course, she didn't change in a day. But I want to tell you that today, Melanie is pastoring a church in Los Angeles with her husband called All Nations Church. And they are reaching out to so many people that were just like Melanie on the streets of LA, reaching out to them and speaking life into them. They've started a Bible school within their church, so these people who are giving their lives to Christ can then train and understand how to give their gifts and study God's word and give their gifts for God's kingdom and to be used for him, so they can be compelled to move forward. You know, I told a story, it was a lot about prayer as far as tearing this giant down, but Melanie is tearing down giants every day in LA by speaking the gospel forth, by speaking the truth into the lives of people who need it, and people are being set free. And this is how it works. So who am I? I'm like a little boy with a rock. But that's not the point. The point is our Almighty God. Habakkuk 3:19 says, "The Lord God is my strength.
He's my source of courage, my invincible army. He has made my feet steady and sure like hinds' feet and makes me walk forward with spiritual confidence on my high places of challenge and responsibility. Can you close your eyes with me and pray? God, I just thank you for meeting us with your word today. I thank you that it doesn't disappoint you, knowing that we need your strength. You delight to show yourself strong in man's weakness. So you invite us. I know you need my strength. I know you need my truth to free you, to heal you, and to restore you. I want to be the rock for you. I'm not looking for you to be strong. I'm looking for you to recognize that I am. I'm looking for you to recognize me as your rock instead of trying to be the rock for your family. I'm looking for you to put your burdens on me instead of trying to show me how many bags you can carry to carry your family and carry the crisis and carry the problems and carry the financial needs and carry it all and be strong and pull yourself up and do it. I'm not looking for you to be strong. I'm looking for you to depend upon me so I can show myself strong in your family. And that will impact eternity. The courage of man is honorable, but a man who is courageous in Christ impacts eternity, whether he's ever recognized on this earth or not. I see when you believe. I see when your heart believes me. I see when you trust me. I see and I know. And that will be your strength. So I want to ask a question today, just have you, as you have your eyes closed right there in your living room. I want to ask a question today. Is there someone that you don't know a relationship with God? You heard all about this heaven's resource and everything that God can be for us, but you don't know it because you don't have it. God loves you. If it only would have been you on this earth, he still would have died on the cross. He still would have given everything and made every way and sacrifice in order to make an opportunity for you to come to him. But it's your choice. So I want to encourage you right there where you are to tell God in your own words that you want to start a relationship with him if that's where you're at. That you want to know him personally. That you want to build your life upon his rock and not upon something else. So just begin to talk to God in your own words. To begin to pray to him, because it's not about a perfect prayer that he's looking for or something that's printed or something that someone else said. He's looking for your heart. And he's looking for the sincerity that comes from your own faith. So just tell him. And as you tell him, and as you ask him to forgive you, and to bring you into his family, he says yes, and he comes to live inside of you. Just keep your eyes closed with me in these moments as we are going to pray in a second. In these moments, God may even speak other things to you that I haven't said, because God wants to meet you right where you are. But my other question is, are there cracks in your foundation? Are there truths that you need in order to fortify and strengthen yourself in him? Do you need to access heaven's resource like never before? God is inviting you. God is making himself, putting himself at your disposal. So if that's you, if you say, yeah, I need more of heaven's resource. Yeah, I've got cracks and I need God to help me see where the lies are, to help me see where the idols are, to help me to see where the fears are, so I can tear them open, expose them and destroy them with the truth. Help me, God. I want you to just put your hand over your heart. It's like laying a hand on yourself, and let's pray. Almighty God, creator of the heavens and the earth, who doesn't grow weary or tired, but who gives power to the weak and increases the power of the weary. God, I thank you that you're here with us, each one. That you know what we need. You know the truths we need that will make us free. You know, Lord,
the understanding that we need, Lord, to see where the lies have been, where the idols have been, where the strongholds have been. Lord, you know everything that we need. Think that you are our endless supply. Help us to continue to come, to continue to build upon you, and to continue to know you and draw from the source that is more than enough. And thank you that you are giving strength to your people today. In Jesus' name, amen.